How is everybody doing tonight? Everybody doing okay? All right. Well, we have a word of prophecy from our brother here. It says, Sunday, Wednesday, every day, I am with you. Open up to me, and through you my river will flow. Open your heart to me, and to you my glory I will show. Out of you my river will flow. Thank you, Lord. We praise you tonight. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity, for this privilege to be able to get into your word together as a family, as the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for this amazing word, the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what it is. It's not just a revelation of anything, it's a revelation of a person and the work of Jesus Christ, the Son, your Son, Lord, your only Son who you gave up. Your word says that you proved your love for us, Father, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you, Lord, for that amazing unconditional love and that amazing grace that has been extended to us through your Son. We thank you for your beautiful Holy Spirit who is now on the inside of us. We just thank you. We give you glory tonight, Lord. And thank you for your people who have come out tonight to hear the word. It's not that we, the people will hear and other things that they could possibly be doing tonight. But Father, there's a hunger for your word. And Father, the time is drawing near. It's getting closer and closer every single day. We take a look at the news, we watch what's going on, we hear what's going on. We don't even have to watch the news. We know what's going on just from living the life that we're living or with the people around us, Father. Things are getting closer to the tribulation, never mind to the rapture. And Father, we just thank you for the rapture. We thank you for that promise of your Son who is going to come into the clouds to take the church home, that we're going to go up and we're going to be with you forever. And then we're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to get married and we're going to go into the holy city where we will be in perfect bliss and perfect harmony with you and with one another. And we just thank you and praise you for that hope that we have in Christ. Father, we pray that we would be sharing the good news and that hope with other people, that they may be able to join us in that eternal life that you have provided for us through your Son. We're so grateful for you, Father. We pray that you might be glorified tonight in all things. We pray that your people may be edified in all things. And Father, as we're going over Revelation 17, it's a hard chapter. It's one of the hardest chapters in the whole entire Bible. Father, I pray that you give us clarity of mind and of speech. And that you would open up your word to us tonight, and we would learn what's going to happen in the future. This stuff hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen because your word says it's going to happen. And so, Father, help us to take in this information. It's a lot of information to take in, but it's amazing, mind-blowing information that you have given to us through your written word. Father, I pray for your blessing for each and every single person here tonight and for those that weren't able to make it tonight. Pray for your healing. Body, soul, spirit, and mind, your provision, Father, personally, financially. We pray that we would bring glory to you in the way that we live our lives, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our feelings. I pray, Father, we wouldn't go by our feelings and our circumstances, but we would walk by faith. We thank you that we are the righteousness of God and that we are dead to sin and that we are new creatures in Christ. So, Father, open up our hearts, open up our minds, that we would be able to see and hear what you would want us to see and hear tonight. And we give you glory, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Isn't it great to have Renee back with us? Okay. Maybe a couple ushers to come forward would be great. We're going to hand out Revelation 17, Religious Babylon, and I'm going to take one right ahead before you hand them out. So this is a brand new sheet, so everybody's getting this sheet tonight. This is we're going to read what we're going to do, Lord willing, is before we even go over the first side of this sheet tonight, we're going to read all 18 verses of Revelation 17 again. The word it says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 that there's a special blessing that comes with reading this book out loud. And so hopefully you're reading it out loud at home so you can receive that blessing. As the guys are handing out this sheet, any idea of what some of these blessings may be that the book of Revelation's talking about? Anybody have an idea of what some of these blessings may be when it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, Actually, real deal, could you pull up Revelation chapter 1, verse 3? We'll just take a look at this while the sheets are being handed out. Blessed, spiritually happy. Okay, that's what blessed means. It means to be spiritually happy and content in the Lord. Is he who reads, or she who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Okay, word near here means it's next on God's calendar. Okay, so anybody have an idea what some of these blessings could be that this book of Revelation is talking about while we're finishing handing out these sheets here? Thanks.
Everybody got one?
Everybody has one? We're good? Okay. Any idea what some of these blessings? Have anybody been blessed by this class? Has the Lord revealed anything to you that you have received as a result of hearing this word out loud? Renee? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and one of those mysteries is chapter 17, what we're going to be looking at tonight. Okay, anybody else? Any blessings out, Roger?
I now that I've entered Revelation, when I read the other chapters of the Bible, they're opened up to me. I understand it.
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the great blessings of the book of Revelation, is when you study the book of Revelation, it opens up the whole entire rest of the Bible for you. So when Jesus says a particular thing, you're like, what in the world did he mean by that? Oh, that's what he meant by that. Okay. So yeah, that is one of the great blessings of studying Revelation. It helps you learn all the rest of the books of the Bible better, because Revelation encompasses almost every single book of the Bible, not just the book of Revelation itself, which is one of my favorite blessings of reading Revelation, is you learn all the other books better too. Anybody else before we take a stab at chapter 17? Oh, okay. All right, let's take a look at chapter 17. What we're going to do to start off with is I'm going to read all 18 verses of chapter 17 while we're looking at it on the screen all together. And as I'm going over, we looked at all 18 verses of chapter 17 last Wednesday, for those of you who weren't here, although I didn't give out the sheet last Wednesday. And what I did last Wednesday is I asked you to fill in the blank for me and tell me what certain things meant from chapter 17. What I'm going to do tonight instead is I'm going to fill in the blank for you. I'm going to read all 18 verses to you, and I'm going to make a commentary on all 18 verses as I'm going through it. Okay, so that'll help you out, because we only have tonight and next Wednesday, and then we got to be done chapter 17. And as you can tell by looking at chapter 17, it's a big monster. So let's take a look starting at verse 1. I'm going to read all 18. I'm going to make believe that I'm giving you a commentary, as if you have a commentary in front of you trying to study the chapter, okay? And then what we'll do after that is we'll go over the first side and we'll hammer it out. We're not going to look up all these verses once we get on the sheet, because I'm going to read all 18 right now. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, we haven't got to the seven bowls yet, but I'll explain the reason why I'm doing Revelation 17 ahead of time, came and talked with me, John, the Apostle John, saying to me, the Apostle John, come and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot, the great prostitute, the great whore, which is the false religious system, who sits on many waters. That is, she is in charge of all the Gentile nations and people, with whom the evil kings of the earth have committed spiritual adultery, fornication, and the evil inhabitants of the earth, also known as earth dwellers, were made spiritually drunk with the wine of her fornication and her spiritual infidelity. So he carried me, the Apostle John, he carried away in the Holy Spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman, this is the prostitute, this is the false religious system, sitting on a scarlet beast, who is the Antichrist, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads, which are the seven old kingdoms that lead up to the kingdom of the Antichrist, and 10 horns, which are the 10 kings that are going to follow with the Antichrist. The woman, the prostitute, the whore, who is the false religious system, was arrayed in purple, a color of holiness, and scarlet, the color of sin, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, as if to say, look how beautiful and perfect I am, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication and spiritual adultery. And on her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman, the whore, the prostitute, drunk, spiritually drunk, with the blood of the saints being the people who got saved during the tribulation, and now with the blood of the martyrs, those saints who are now murdered because of her, the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement, saying to myself, how can this be? How is this possible? But the angel said to me, why do you marvel, as if to say to yourself, how can this be? How is this possible? I will tell you the mystery, that which was not revealed in the Old Testament, but now is revealed in the New Testament, of the woman, the whore, the prostitute, the false religious system, and of the beast, the Antichrist, that carries this false religious system, which has the seven heads, the old kingdoms leading up to the Antichrist, and the 10 horns, which are the 10 kings that follow after the Antichrist. And the beast, the Antichrist, that you saw was and is not, because he was killed, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit, resurrected, infused with energy from the from Satan, and will go to perdition, which is the lake of fire. And those who, the evil people who dwell on the earth, earth dwellers are evil people, will marvel and say, wow, these people who are not written in the book of written in the book of life, which is a register of all the physical living and eventually all of the spiritual living, from the foundation of the world that God had planned out, when they see the beast, the Antichrist, that was and is not, because he was killed and yet is, has come back. Here is a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. The seven heads on which the woman, the prostitute, the whore, the false religious system sits. There are also seven kings / kingdoms. Five have fallen, and look, pay attention to my hand up here. Five have fallen. Assyria. Egypt. Assyria. Babylon. Medo-Persia. Greece. Okay, by this time, these five kingdoms had already fallen. One is Rome. How do we know it's Rome? Because Rome is dominating at the time that the Apostle John is writing this book. And the other has not yet come, which is a revived Roman Empire under a human Antichrist. And when he comes, he must continue for a short time. He will get killed halfway through. Verse 11. The beast, the Antichrist that was and is not, because he was killed, he himself is the eighth kingdom. This is going to be a supernatural Antichrist, because he's going to have the spirit of Satan inside of him after coming out of the bottomless pit, and is one of the seven, which he was before as a human being, and now is going to perdition. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Don't forget, I'm doing a commentary here, so I'm doing a commentary from studying. Obviously, you're not going to see some of these words up there I'm saying. The 10 horns, which are the 10 evil kings that will strive with the Antichrist, which you saw are 10 kings, actually they tell you they're 10 kings here anyway, who have received no kingdom as of yet. The Antichrist has not given them the power that they need yet, but they will receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast, the Antichrist. These are of one mind, one mentality, and one goal, and they will give all of their power and authority over to the beast, the Antichrist. These will make war with the Lamb, Jesus the Christ, and the Lamb, Jesus the Christ, will overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords, he's in control of everything, he's the King of kings, and he rules alone. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful, that is, the raptured Christians who come back for the second coming with Jesus. And then he said to me, the Apostle John, the waters which you saw where the harlot, the prostitute, and the false religion sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, which I mentioned in verse 1. And the 10 horns are the 10 kings which you saw on the beast, the Antichrist. These will hate the harlot, they will hate the false religious system, and they will make her desolate. There will be nothing left to her, and she will be naked and ashamed and have nothing left. They will eat her flesh, and they will burn her with fire. Oh, that's pretty explicit. For God has put it into their hearts, has planned it this way from the beginning to fulfill his purpose, to be one mind, one mentality, and one goal, to give their kingdom to the beast, the Antichrist, until the words of God are fulfilled in Scripture. And the woman, the false religious system, the whore, the prostitute, whom you saw is, okay, very, very important here, she is the city. Okay, she is that great city which reigns over the evil kings of the earth. Was that helpful? Or no? I was trying to do a commentary on it instead of always asking you who's this and who's that. So even though Revelation 17 is rather confusing and rather intense, it's very important here in verse 18. Let's stay in verse 18 just for a second. No matter what your background is and what you have studied in the book of Revelation in the past, the rules of the game are strict, literal interpretation, unless there are clues to tell you that you shouldn't have strict, literal interpretation. And Revelation 17 is one of very few examples of that in the book of Revelation. Now, it's very now who's the woman again? Who's the woman? The false, okay, so false religious system. The only reason why I don't want to say false church alone, although the church, there is going to be the false church mixed into it, is I believe from study that this woman, the whore, the prostitute, the harlot, she embodies false religious system of all kinds. Okay? And she is going to be ruling and reigning over three continents. Now, a lot of people say Babylon is literally Babylon here. And when we next Wednesday, we're going to get to the other side of the sheet, and I'm going to tell you the reason why I don't believe it is literally Babylon. Some people say this is Rome. I'm going to tell you the reason why it's not only Rome. Okay? And so I'm throwing a little monkey wrench in here, because I know some of you have come in here saying, this is definitely Babylon, this is definitely Rome. Okay? Now, remember when we talked about the old Roman Empire, it covered three continents. It covers Europe, it covers Northern Africa, and it covers Western and Central Asia. Okay? Now, if the old Roman Empire covered that ground, then the revived Roman Empire, it stands to reason, is going to cover the same ground. Now, this false religious system, now it's interesting because the Apostle John says, how can this be? I can't believe it. Now, the word for marvel in the Greek means that you are so blown away that you could never have imagined ahead of time that this was possible and was going to happen. Have you ever said to yourself, I can't believe this happened. I never thought anything like this could happen. You ever said that to yourself? So the word for marvel in the Greek means, oh my goodness, I don't believe this. I never in a million years would have ever thought that something like this could have happened. Okay, and those that are older in age that grew up in the early 1900s or mid-1900s, you would have never guessed that there would be preachers coming up to the pulpit and preaching against the Bible, would you? Would you have been able to guess that when you were younger? Probably not. So that is a huge clue. There are many huge clues as to why it's not Rome and it's not Babylon. It's neither one of them. Okay? Because Babylon was talked about second only to Israel in the Old Testament. So Babylon is certainly not a mystery. And John wouldn't have been blown away by Babylon, and he certainly wouldn't have been blown away by Rome being evil, because Rome had him on the island of Patmos. John was in a prison right now. Rome certainly wouldn't have been something that would have shocked him. If you said to the Apostle John, Rome's evil, John would have said, of course they're evil. They threw me on the island of Patmos. The only reason I'm enjoying myself is because I get to write this amazing book while I'm on the island of Patmos. Okay? The woman is the great city. Okay? She is the great city. There is not a separate city from her. This false religious system encompasses three continents. It's not just Rome. It's not just Babylon. It's all of it and everything in between all at the same time. So let's take a look at the first part of the sheets. We're going to take a look at the top. I'll read through the top quickly. We're only going to look up four different scriptures tonight because I want to go down this list here on the top and make a little bit more commentaries on that. If we have time and we can do the top on the second side, we'll do it. If we can't, then obviously we won't. Surprise, surprise. Okay, so at the top where it says Religious Babylon, Revelation 17, the false church will be very active and popular during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation after the rapture of the true church. Okay, let's take a look at that, 2 Timothy 4:1-5. No surprises, right? Once the rapture takes place, how many believers are going to be on earth as soon as the rapture, the second that the rapture is done, how many believers are going to be on earth? Zero. Okay? So after the rapture, there will be no Christians. There will not be one believer on earth to start off with. Okay? But there will be people getting saved. They're called saints in the book of Revelation. Those are people that get saved during the tribulation period. Let's take a look at this. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, which will be the second coming, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Do I have that right? Oh, I might be 1 Timothy 4, 1-5. Let's take a look here for a second. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up or endure sound doctrine, which is good doctrine, good teaching. But according to their own desires, they will have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and turn aside to fables. Do we see that happening in our culture today? I don't like it at this church anymore. Well, what don't you like about the church? Well, they told me that I'm not allowed to sleep with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. That really made me angry because I love that person. Well, the Bible does say you're not supposed to have sex outside of marriage. Yeah, I know, but who does he think he is telling us that? Well, he is responsible to preach the word of God. Well, I got to go to another church that tells me it's okay, basically, right? So, you know, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist does what? Spreads the gospel, fulfill your ministry. So we see in verses 3 and 4, there's going to come a time, and there already is a time, is there not, where people are going to say, I don't want to listen to this stuff. I don't want to listen to this. Partially probably because it's pricking their conscience and they're feeling feeling bad because of the way that they're living or whatever. It's not that God wants us to feel bad as much as he just wants us to change. He wants us to repent for what we're doing. He doesn't want us to sit around and think about how horrible we are, but he wants us to change what we're doing. I've had that happen to me before. A pastor was preaching, and I was a younger kid, and I was doing things I shouldn't do, and he touched upon that exact thing. And I remember squirming in my seat saying, is he doing this on purpose? Is he talking to me purposely? Which, of course, he wasn't. He had no idea I was doing that. But what's going to happen, especially, it's already happening now, but when the rapture takes place and all the Christians are gone, the world's going to go bazonkers. Okay, and they're going to still be standing up and they're still going to be talking in churches, but there's not going to be anything worth listening to because they're going to be preaching against the word instead of the word. All churches will be comprised of non-believers. I'm reading the top just in case you're wondering what I'm reading. All churches will be comprised of non-believers to begin the tribulation. The synagogues, Jewish places of worship, will be run by non-believers. Let's take a look at Matthew 24, 9 through 11. Then we'll take a look at John 16, 1 through 4. And Jesus says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, when will be betray one another. Okay, betray suggests that you had a good relationship with that person, and now they turn their back on you, right? And will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Let's take a look at John 16, 1 through 4. I think that's the one I really want to concentrate on. These things, Jesus said, I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he is doing an offering God a service or doing a service or an offering to God. That's a scary thought, isn't it? There's a time coming when people who are believers of the faith, who are strong in their faith, will be killed by other people in the faith, and they're going to think that they're doing a service to God by killing. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. They may be religious, but they don't know me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. And I think that's good. Okay, put you out of the synagogues and kill you and say, hey, we're just trying to do God a favor. This person was a troublemaker. They kept saying that they believed the word of God. We can't have that going on. They're a disturbance to us. Yeah, Pharisaical, absolutely. Okay, now I'm reading at the top of the sheet still. The Antichrist will promote, he's really going to tolerate this false church, also known as the harlot, the prostitute. Okay, this false church, which is embodied, and if you take a look in France, which of course I know you're not going to be doing anytime soon because we don't live in France. In France, they have these big billboards and these posters of the great prostitute, and she's riding on top of a beast. And she looks, you know, she looks really attractive, obviously. And she's saying, hey, do you want to come and play with me? Okay, so we see this stuff already. It's all kinds of stuff going on, crazy stuff. And so the Antichrist the false church is going to be promoted by the Antichrist. Why? Because people are going to be getting saved, and the Antichrist does not want them to come to know the Lord. So he's going to be all in favor of a false church. So for the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is like, yeah, sure, we'll go with it, that's fine. Okay? But at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to kill off this false system, this false church, and burn her up and devour her flesh like we took a look at in Revelation 17. Question, why would the Antichrist want to kill off a false religious system when a false religious system's telling people not to have a relationship with God? Why would he want to kill off the false religious system? Why not let them keep going for the whole entire tribulation period? Any thoughts on that? Competition, okay, good. Competition with respect to worship, okay. Who does the Antichrist want to have worshipped or have in place of the false church? Himself. Okay. Now, at the halfway point, he's going to go in and he's going to defile the temple. Remember, we talked about the halfway point. He's going to break that 7-year peace treaty after 3.5 years. At the same, right before he breaks that 3.5-year peace, the 7-year peace treaty, halfway through, he's also going to destroy this false church and completely obliterate her. He's going to annihilate her. Okay? Because the Antichrist wants to be worshipped. There's only one thing that's better to the Antichrist than a false church or a false religious system that leads people astray, and that's for them to worship him himself. And so he's going to annihilate and destroy and kill her so that he can take the place of her and he can be worshipped instead. And the false prophet is going to come along and he's going to promote the number 666, and we know how the story goes. Okay, you worship the Antichrist or pew, done, over. Okay, and Lynn did a very good enactment of that last week. Okay, but that's true. All right, let's take a look at this list of 14 things. And so are you getting a better understanding of this? So after the rapture takes place, we're going to have 3.5 years. It's going to be really bad. Okay, and at the halfway point, the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to destroy this false system. Now, don't forget, the Antichrist is going to get killed. He's going to be risen from the bottomless pits, and he will have supernatural control in order to be able to do these things. Okay, and then he's going to break the 7-year peace treaty with Israel, and he's going to commit the abomination of desolation. Remember that. Okay, so at the halfway point, now the Antichrist is going to say, you worship me, or else. Okay. And he's going to be able to do all these supernatural things, which is going to really impress people that are unsaved, and they're going to follow after the beast, as we just read in Revelation chapter 17. All right, let's take a look at these 14 things on the first side here. The first one is the great prostitutes. The great prostitute is the great city. She is a false religious system. Okay? She's a false religious system out of Rome, and she's a false religious system out of Babylon. She's a false religious system out of Western and Central Asia. She's a false religious system, Muslim system, out of Northern Africa. She's a false religious system out of Europe. Don't forget, Europe is being converted to Islam. Under our noses. Europe, as a matter of fact, Europe is being converted to Islam quicker than any other continent right now. They are becoming very, very quickly Muslim. Just in case you are wondering. Okay, so these three continents are going to make up this false religious system, which is going to cover everything. It's going to cover every single lewd act, every single evil thing that goes against God is going to be encompassed in this false religious system, what we call the great prostitute. Now, it says in verse 18 that she is the city. She's the city. Okay? Number two, many waters are peoples, nations, and languages. These are Gentile. Anytime you see, usually waters and sea, S-E-A, refer to Gentile nations. Okay, and these are not Jews. These are Gentiles. Let me explain something to you. This the period of time starting with King Nebuchadnezzar all the way through Jesus' second coming is the period of time known as the times of the Gentiles, which means the Gentiles are going to be in domination over the Jews. And so until Jesus Christ comes back, the Gentiles since Nebuchadnezzar, all the way up to this point, we've seen that. The Jews have not been in control over the Gentiles. The Gentiles very much have been in control over the Jews ever since King Nebuchadnezzar, really probably even before that. So these many waters that she's going to sit on, this false religious system is going to have her, she's going to be sitting on Gentile nations. She's going to control all the Gentile nations. And it says in verse 15 that the many waters refers to people, nations, and languages, so it's pretty straightforward. Number three, we talked about the kings of the earth. These are evil kings. Are there going to be kings on the earth that are good kings? Yes. The Bible actually says in the last two chapters of Revelation that the kings are going to bring their glory into the holy city. So there are going to be good kings on the earth, just like there are going to be evil kings. But the kings of the earth that are mentioned in the book of Revelation are always mentioned in a negative light. And if you're mentioned in a negative light through the whole entire book of Revelation, that means that you're evil. Okay. Number four, the dwellers of the earth, also known as the earth dwellers, are non-believers. And these people are going to stay non-believers until all the way to the end of the tribulation. Unfortunately, tragically, the earth dwellers, which means that their heart belongs to the earth. Their love is for this earth and for the worldly system. And who is the god of this age in this worldly system according to what the Bible teaches? Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Okay, number five is the scarlet beast. Scarlet can be a color for sin, as we talked about from Isaiah 1:18. This is the Antichrist. Now, she is going to be riding on top of the Antichrist. Now, who is she again? She's a false religious system that covers three continents. Okay, we talked about that before when we pulled up the map and we showed with the old Roman Empire. Every single time someone says revive Roman Empire, people think, oh, Romans. It's not just Romans. It's three continents worth of people. She is going to be on top of the Antichrist. This false religious system is going to look like she's controlling the Antichrist. But the Antichrist is going to be supporting her for only 3.5 years. And then what's going to happen after the 3.5 years at the midpoint? Whew, he's going to destroy her. He's going to murder her. Okay? And so that's going to happen at the midpoint. Number six is the seven heads. These are seven old kingdoms leading to the Antichrist. We talked about these seven kingdoms. Remember, everything started with Egypt, right? That God's people were taken into captivity by the Egyptians. They were there 400 years, and then they were, you know, the Exodus through the Red Sea, et cetera, et cetera. So everything started with the first evil kingdom, which is Egypt, which is all the way back to the 1400s BC. So these seven heads are seven kingdoms. And we talked about this already. We talked about Egypt, and then Assyria took Israel into captivity in 722 BC. And then after that, we have Babylon took God's people into captivity in 586 BC. The Medes and the Persians took over the Babylonians. The Greeks took over the Medes and the Persians, and that's the first five. The Romans took over the Greeks, and then the Antichrist is going to take over from starting out of Europe. Okay, so those are the seven old kingdoms leading to the Antichrist. Number seven, we have 10 horns, which is obviously the 10 kingdoms with the Antichrist. Let me make a comment about the 10 horns for a second. Are there going to only be 10 countries, 10 kingdoms fighting with the Antichrist? No. Now, don't forget, when the Antichrist becomes supernatural because Satan indwells him after he comes out of the bottomless pit, he's going to be controlling the whole entire world at this point. The midpoint of the tribulation, he can do whatever he wants to anybody. Okay? So when we talk about 10 horns, we're not just talking about 10 kingdoms. We're talking about 10 is the number of perfection, isn't it? I have 10 fingers. Most people have 10 fingers, not everybody, but most people have 10 fingers unless you had an accident at one time. Most people, some people, sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I have 9.5. No, I was joking. Most people have 10 toes, unless they had an accident or something happened. If you see a pretty girl, you say, oh, she's a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, which means, oh, she's the prettiest. Nobody's prettier than this girl. Okay, so the number 10 is a number in the Bible that means a rounded, perfect number on a scale. That's how we get the scale of 1 to 10. Okay, so 10 horns doesn't necessarily mean it's only 10 kingdoms. It means that he has a completion, a full set of kings and kingdoms in his back pocket. And starting at the midpoint of the tribulation, he'll be able to do whatever he wants to whomever he wants. And you say to yourself, well, that's not fair. There are going to be saints on the earth. Well, that's what's going to happen. They're going to turn into martyrs. They're going to be martyrs first and foremost from this evil religious system, the woman. And then they're going to be martyrs for refusing to take the number 666. So when you think of 10 horns, yes, think of 10 kings and kingdoms, but also realize that this is a full conglomeration of kings and kingdoms that are fighting with the Antichrist. It's not just 10 only. Number 8, Mystery Babylon. Now, every single time you see the word mystery, what does that mean? Something revealed that was not revealed when? Was not revealed in the Old Testament, but now is revealed in the New Testament. Okay? So Mystery Babylon, that alone should set off blaring red lights everywhere. Okay, if this is literally Babylon, why is it a mystery? Babylon's mentioned 280 times in the Old Testament. 280 times Babylon's mentioned in the Old Testament. That is not a mystery. Babylon is not a mystery to God's people by the time this book is written in AD 95. Not at all. If you went up to the Apostle John while he was writing this book and you said, have you ever heard of Babylon? He'd be like, have I ever heard of Babylon? Are you crazy? Of course I heard of Babylon. Our people were in captivity to them back in the days of King Nebuchadnezzar. Of course I've heard of Babylon. Okay? But he's calling Babylon a mystery here. Okay, and Rome's not a mystery to them, obviously. Rome was in control at the time that John wrote this book. So if you went up to John and said, have you ever heard of the Romans before and the Roman government, John would be like, hello, I'm in captivity right now because of the Romans and the Roman government. So they're not a mystery. So we see here, number 8, that Babylon is an actual mystery. John's saying, I've never heard of this Babylon before in the Old Testament. I've never heard of this. Who is this? And this prostitute is a false religious system. I'm on number 8 right now on the sheet. Mystery is something revealed in the New Testament but never mentioned in the Old Testament. We talked about that. For example, the rapture is a mystery. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:51. It feels like forever since we talked about the rapture, doesn't it? It probably has been forever. Behold, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Let's keep going because that really doesn't tell us enough information. Let's go to 52 and see where we need to stop. Okay, so Apostle Paul is saying, I'm telling you a mystery. We're not all going to just sleep and die, but we will all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. This will be the last trumpet for the Christians. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay, that's good. So that's talking about the rapture. The rapture is a mystery. Okay? The Bible says that marriage is a mystery. And we all know that. that's a mystery. Sorry, God forgive me, and whoever's watching this, don't throw tomatoes at me or whoever, whatever you're going to do. We also know that the Bible says that the church is a mystery. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. The church was never mentioned in the Old Testament. Okay, now you say to yourself, the Old Testament talks about Jesus Christ coming back all the time. Yes, it talks about the second coming, but not the rapture. Okay, don't get too confused. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is concerning the relationship between husband and wife and how it's connected to Christ and the church. Okay, so there are mysteries that were never revealed in their understanding until they got revealed into the New Testament. And the rapture, of course, is the forefront of that mystery. So anytime you see the word mystery, you've got to, a responsible student of the word has got to ask him or herself, what is the mystery? What is it that was never told to us in the Old Testament that, bam, all of a sudden in the New Testament, something's going on? Okay, so when you see mystery before Babylon here in Revelation chapter 17, the responsible student of the word must ask him or herself, it almost demands a hermeneutic. Hermeneutic is how we interpret the Bible. It demands a hermeneutic. What is this that has never been talked about before? Is it Babylon? No. Only Jerusalem's mentioned more than Babylon in the Old Testament. Is it Rome? No. John's being pummeled by Rome when he writes this. Okay, so this mystery has to go beyond just a particular city. And he tells us what the mystery is. It is the great prostitutes. It is the great whore. It is the great harlot. This false religious system that dominates the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And she will be killed. She will be murdered by the Antichrist when he becomes supernatural. Let's take a look at number 9. Bottomless pit, also known as the abyss. The Greek word is abusos. This is a prison. We can call it hell because I guarantee you, if you go into the bottomless pit, which I don't recommend you do, just to say that up front, if you go into the bottomless pit and you ask the fallen angels, are they having a great time down there, you'll hear a lot of screaming and wailing, and the answer is no. So the bottomless pit is a form of hell, no doubt about it. Okay, and this is where the fallen angels are. They've been thrown down there. These are dangerous angels, and they're going to stay there until they're judged by God at the end of history. Number 10 is the Book of Life. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding about the Book of Life. Okay, people keep saying, oh, you're going to get erased from the Book of Life. You got to be careful of this. You got to be careful of that. There, I believe in the two-book theory. Okay, we'll talk about this more when we get to Revelation chapter 20. I believe in the two-book theory. I believe in the Book of Life, and I believe in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, now in the Old Testament, the Book of Life is mentioned a good 5 to 8 times. Obviously, that's not the Lamb's Book of Life because it's in the Old Testament. The Book of Life, Moses said, be careful that God doesn't smote you from the Book of Life. In other words, physically, you're going to be taken off the earth, which a lot of them did. Remember Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2? They went and burned unauthorized incense at the altar of incense, and God gave them cement boots. Yeah. No cement boots. Okay, so the Book of Life, I believe in two books. I believe that the Book of Life, which the Bible clearly states, is a register of all who are physically born onto the earth. So all of us right now are in the Book of Life. Every single person that's ever been born is in the Book of Life, at least originally, because there it's a register of physically living people. Those who become born again enter into what's known as the Lamb's Book of Life, which is Jesus' special book. And we saw that. We had some baptisms here, and everybody's excited, and it was really cool, which is wonderful. It's a great thing to see somebody become born again, get saved, and live their lives for Jesus Christ. When you become born again, and Jesus Christ is your Savior, you enter into the Lamb's Book of Life. And so your name stays in the Book of Life because you're considered living. Because Jesus is the definition of life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then technically you're considered dead, and your book is erased and taken out of the Book of Life. Okay? So when we see it, when we're getting way too far ahead of ourselves, but in Genesis, yeah, right. In Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says anybody whose name was not found in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Because that's a register of people who are truly alive and they're truly living. They never made it into the Lamb's Book of Life. Therefore, they're not in the Book of Life. And into the lake of fire they go. Okay, so the Book of Life is a register of all physically born and living people. But if you never have Jesus, if you never ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior and know him as your Savior, your name gets erased from the Book of Life because you're not considered alive. You're considered dead. Because you're spiritually dead. Okay? Number 11, the seven mountains are seven old kingdoms leading to the Antichrist. This could be a reference to Rome as well. Rome is very well known for its seven mountains. But it really doesn't matter because we know that Rome is part of Europe anyway. So these three continents are going to participate in this false religious system either way, whether it's a reference to Rome or not. Number 12, the Lamb is Jesus Christ. Obviously, we know Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's an easy one. Chosen and faithful ones are Christians. We're going to be coming back with Jesus at the second coming. Okay? Because where are we going to go before the second coming? Yeah, the rapture. So after the rapture, what's the next thing that's going to happen after the rapture? Oh, not yet. What's going to happen immediately after the rapture? What's going to happen? Okay, that's true. But for us as Christians, what's going to be the next thing that we Christians go through after the rapture? The marriage, but the Bema seat first, okay? So after the rapture, we go into the judgment seat of Christ, also known as the Bema seat, and then we get married. And then we go into the holy city. And I'll talk later about why I think it's straight right into the holy city instead of heaven. So we're going to be coming back with Jesus. We are going to be coming back on white horses at the second coming. We're actually not going to kick butt, but it's going to be fun watching Jesus kick butt. Amen? Okay, so at the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus is going to take the false prophet and the Antichrist, and he's going to throw them into the lake of fire, and then the kings of the earth are going to get beaten so bad that the Bible says that the birds are going to be summoned to eat their flesh. And isn't this exciting? Can't you wait to sleep tonight? Isn't this great? Go home, have a nice meal, go to bed. It's true, though. These things are really going to happen. This is what the Word of God says. And number 14 is very, very important. The great city is the great prostitute. She is the false religious system. Let's take a look at that again. Revelation chapter 17, verse 18. Everybody's trying to figure out what city is this? What place is this? Now, don't forget, we talked about Mystery Babylon, which to the responsible student of the Word, they have to say to themselves, this can't be Babylon, because it's Mystery Babylon, okay? So we have to ask ourselves, what is this place? It tells us here what the place is. And the woman who you saw is. It doesn't say she is like the great city. It says she is the great city. Okay, so this false religious system, the great harlot, the great prostitute, the great whore, whatever you want to call her, it depends on what translation you have in your Bible. Okay, mine says prostitute, I think. Anyway, it's not flattering. Okay, so she's committing spiritual idolatry. Don't forget, adultery and idolatry come from the same root word in the Greek. So if you're, and it also back in the day, when they used to worship to other gods, they would commit sexual sin and say, hey, we're doing this for the God of fertility, so our crops will grow. We're doing this for the God of fertility so we can have kids. Okay? So sexual immorality was a part of worship, was a part of pagan worship. Now, I want to tell you something else. And this is, I hope this blows your mind away. Maybe it won't. Maybe you're a step ahead of me. I don't know. And I realize we're not talking about marriage specifically. But when a husband and a wife, and at first you're going to say to yourself, wait a second, but I want you to pay attention. When a husband and wife, and I stress husband and wife, okay? When a husband and wife come together, and you know what I mean by come together. I don't get any more explicit than that, right? Okay, thank you. Thank you, God. I was hoping they would catch on right away. When a husband and wife come together, that is a form of worship to God. Okay, because in the Old Testament, they would worship false gods by committing sexual sin. The Bible says if you want to worship God the proper way with your sexuality, a husband and a wife come together and they love each other and they come together as one. That's worship to God. It's weird to think of it that way because you say to yourself, God's interested in my sex life with my husband or my wife? He is. He is interested in it because you are worshiping God by loving each other and coming together as one. So those of you who are married, get to it. Come on, worship the Lord. No, seriously, it's the truth. It's the truth. It is a form of worship to God when a husband and wife love each other in that way. Just like it's unfortunately a form of worship to pagan idols when they used to go to the altars and commit sexual sin. And each pagan altar and idol had their own cult prostitutes. So if you didn't have a girlfriend or boyfriend, that's no problem. They'd set you up with somebody, and then you would worship the false gods through the cult prostitutes. I'm not making this up. I swear I've read the Old Testament before. Okay? Check out Numbers chapter 25 sometime, and you can read for it yourself. That's a great example of it. Numbers 25, if you ever get around to it. Okay, any questions or comments about the first side? This is a lot of information to take in, isn't it? I just want to do a little bit of the top of the second side if we have time. I don't want to rush you. If we don't have time, then we won't have time. That's fine. But I hope that some of this is making sense, because after all, Revelation chapter 17 is a monster. And I'm not just talking about beasts. I'm talking about it really is difficult to understand. But when we take a look at the Word of God, regardless of what we've been taught or what our mentality is or what we think something is in Scripture, we've got to break it down. Okay, we've got to break it down and take a look and say, what really is going on in this passage? What's really happening? Yes. And remind me to repeat the questions, which I never seem to do. Oh, Europe, period. Europe, period. Yeah. Western and Central Asia. Okay, what I believe, the reason why I believe that there's not going to be an Eastern Asia underneath Africa and also North and South America is because I believe that after the rapture and after all the wars and all the earthquakes, these continents are going to tank. Okay? And what's going to happen, I believe from studying, I can't prove this, but in Scripture, we don't see any mention of the Americas. North America and South America are going to come squishing in where Europe is, and the Philippines and Japan and all those countries are going to come squishing in and going into Central and Western Asia. South Africa is going to come up into North Africa, partially because of the rapture, partially because of wars, partially because of earthquakes. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And the Antichrist is going to start getting these people together. Because in the Battle of Armageddon, we have the kings from the east, which are the Asian countries, but also the stands, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, and all those countries. We have the kings from the north, Syria, Lebanon, and countries up there, and also Russia. And we have the kings from the south, which are Egypt, Libya, the Sudan, and those other places. Okay, but the Bible never, ever, ever mentions kings coming from the west. Now, a Bible student has to ask him or herself the question, why? Why are there no kings ever mentioned in the book of Revelation and never mentioned in the book of Daniel coming out of the west for Armageddon? And the answer to that question, I believe, from my study, is the countries from the west, now North America, South America, and a lot of Europe are going to be in the Antichrist pocket by this time, and they're not going to be their own separate continents and countries any longer. Because when you're a student of the Word of God and you're taking a look in Scripture and you see North, South, East, and you never see West, then that means that there aren't going to be people coming from the West to attack the Antichrist. Because these things, the kings from the east, the kings from the north, and the kings from the south are all mentioned within context of attacking the Antichrist during the Armageddon. And he's going to put put the north and the south one down. We'll talk about the east when we get there. Okay? If there's nobody coming from the west to join the other 3 points, then that means that the people from the west are with the Antichrist. They're not coming against the Antichrist. They're already with him. Okay? So And so you've got to take a look. When you're studying Scripture, you've got to ask yourself, why? Why is this missing in the puzzle? Why is this piece missing? Any questions or comments or anything? I might do a little bit at the top. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Olga. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, right.
What are they categorizing these now? Because I, you know, you're talking about. up out of France, but I know Lori's flying out this week, so I was just curious if she was seeing it.
I don't know exactly. What is that? Oh, the question is these billboards and these posters and these advertisements for the great prostitute, the woman that's sitting on top of an animal and a beast. When did it start? I have no idea when it started. Yeah, there's publicity for it for exactly the same thing. There's publicity for it for a sexually promiscuous culture. We're independent from God. Okay. Now, one thing that's really important to understand about the great prostitute and the beast is the great prostitute embodies spirituality and the beast embodies political stuff. And so what we have in our culture today is we have the political and the spiritual all coming together and meshing together. I mean, we just saw recently Donald Trump and the Pope are going at it. Okay, and so what's happening is spiritual leaders, instead of, this is just my personal opinion, okay? People can be more than happy to disagree with me on this, that's fine. You can't disagree with me on anything else, only this. No, I'm just joking, that's not true. You can disagree with me whatever you want. The pastors and the preachers of today have to be very careful not to preach a social justice gospel over the actual gospel that's recorded in Scripture. There are a lot of pastors and preachers that are so fixated on politics that they're getting involved in politics. They're getting in the way of things. They're saying, you need to believe this. You need to vote here. You need to do this. And there's some legitimacy in that, because certainly we don't want to put people into office that think homosexuality is fantastic and let's just keep having abortion the way it is and stuff like that. But political leaders are getting into the church, and church leaders are getting into the politics, and they're mixing together and marriage together. And that's what we see here in Revelation 17. The great prostitute is mixing in marriage with the beast. We're getting politics and religion all mixed together, and it becomes a nice, big, ugly mess. And people talk about separation of church and state. Actually, separation of church and state originally was to get the government to stay away from the church. I don't know if you knew that or not. That's the original purpose for separation of church and state. Now, politics has come into the church. So when there's a law that's made and it's on the books, the people who are in politics tell the people in the church, you need to do this, this, and that. Or else. Well, you know, we our responsibility is to do what God wants us to do. So, and I'm not trying to pick on homosexuals. I know I already mentioned them once tonight already. And I love all people, and I love them just as much as I love any other group of people in the world. But if you have a pastor who knows, according to what the Word of God teaches, that he can't marry two men or he can't marry two women, now it's on the books. It's a law. Homosexuality is legal. And so I'm not saying this is always going to necessarily happen, but the government can butt in and say, you need to marry these two people or else. If you don't, you're going to be kicked out of the church, or you might even go to jail someday, or you might even be killed. So we see this mix of politics and religion here in Revelation 17, which we already see happening in our culture today. The government wants to tell churches what to do, and the church wants to get into politics and get mixed up with the people in politics and try to control and figure out who to get in. I've heard pastors and preachers get up to the pulpit and preach full sermons about politics. It's okay to mention political things, which is what I'm doing right now, but politics should not be a sermon. The sermon should always be centered around God Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ. Jim?
Yes, you know, if it's okay to make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
About...
Of course it is.
What you said about homosexuality or lesbians. It's amazing how just love will just bring whomever it is, of any, whatever their sexual orientation is, just loving them. Like I remember I had a girl come to my office and say, just start yelling out, like, well, you know, Trainer Jim, I know you believe the Bible, my grandma says I'm going to hell and I'm going to burn, and I sat with her and I talked with her, and she knows that God loves her, and she said, well, I don't really know, I'm like, just, you know, and I said, well, do you agree with the Bible? I'm like, well, yeah, I do, but I said, I do, and God loves you, like, well, how can you, do I need to change? I'm like, I was like, God will see God and let him change him. You know, your grandmother saying that isn't really a good thing. She loved you.
Yeah.
But, and then I mean, just this week, I've had, you know, I have a couple of girls who are lesbians. When they cry, they know that where I stand, because they've talked to me about it, but they know I love them, and they come to my office. Yesterday, I had a young man come to my office. And, you know, it's not, like you said, like these politicians, because I've heard that, and people standing with signs,
yeah,
you know, and they scream like you're going to burn it. It's like,
yeah, right.
You start with love.
Yeah, and what the observation that was made is that we need to love people. That's the most effective tool, and within the context of homosexuality, what we were just talking about. I agree with that 100%. I think it's very horrible to say to somebody, God loves you, but you're going to hell. I mean, what's that? I don't want to hear about God loving me if you're telling me I'm going, God loves you, but unfortunately you're going to hell someday. Sorry. No. We want to approach people in the right way. We want to tell them about God's love. We want to tell them about Jesus Christ. Ivan, you're 100% on track with that. Perfect. We all have sin, and we all need a Savior. If anybody thinks they're going to make it into heaven someday through works righteousness, I want to really discourage you from that. I really do. The head needs to come out of the sand and come up in the air, and we got to realize this: Jesus Christ crucified. That makes a man or a woman righteous, not proving it. I'm going to be such a good little boy or a good little girl. God's going to be so proud of me. Well, God's proud of Jesus. Jesus was slaughtered for us. That's who God's impressed with. Any other questions or comments? Olga? Turkey, which is over there, Turkey's in Asia anyway. Yeah, so we have Asian countries, but we're also coming up from North Africa and coming over. Well, after Francisco Franco died, Francisco Franco was a dictator in Spain, and after he held people with an iron fist, and after he died, Europe started to go crazy. Now, can you imagine being oppressed and suppressed for so many years, and all of a sudden a dictator dies and everybody starts to go bananas, and they go in the exact opposite direction? Is that 19? When did Francisco Franco die? I can't remember. I'll have to check. I'll have to look and see when he died. I can't remember. But he was a dictator in Spain, and so that's when things started to go crazy. People did the exact opposite once the dictator started to die out. So, but Europe is becoming Muslim very, very quickly. Very quickly. It's not that hard. This isn't that hard, is it? Lewis? 1975, thank you. I was thinking 1948, but that was wrong. 1975, thank you. That's exactly when he died, 1975. I'm not that old. I'm getting there, but I'm not that old. All right. So just take a look on the other side of the sheet just for a second. We're going to close in prayer. It's 1 minute of already. But so next week we're going to spend most of our time on the bottom 10, the 10 reasons why I believe Revelation 17 is not a literal Babylon. So we'll take a look at the 8 next week. We'll do it really quickly. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, human antichrist, supernatural antichrist with the 8 R that are talked about in Revelation 17. We'll go over Daniel a little bit. Just Daniel chapter 11. We haven't looked at Daniel chapter 11 yet. Daniel chapter 11 talks about the Battle of Armageddon. And that's another real hard chapter of Scripture. I picked the hardest things to teach on, but I love it. So we'll look at the second side of the sheet next week. And I am going to close us in prayer so we can all go home and get connected to our families and get cozy and worship the Lord and have a good night's sleep. Father, we thank you for this book. And it's a book of revelation of Jesus Christ. Everything's about you, Lord. Everything's about you. And we worship you tonight. We thank you that we can worship you with our conversations. And through reading this book, as we talked about husband-wife relationships, everything that we do, when we do it for your glory, whether we're working, whether we're at church, whether we're driving on the road, everything can be a form of worship. Worship is not just singing songs, as wonderful as that is. It's our lifestyle. You want us to be people of worship in the way that we live our lives. And Father, I pray that we resist this false religious system as we see already coming through, even here in the United States, which we never thought was going to happen. We're already seeing it happen. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us for the days to come, that we may be strong in the strength of your might, putting on the full armor of God, living as children of light, just as you have called us to live. I thank you for your people here tonight. I pray you bless each and every single person, and protect each and every single person here as they go on their way. And I pray the same for myself, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.